And I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. We have a prayer quilt that's hanging over here for those of you who are visiting us perhaps for the first time today. Every Sunday, we have 1, 2, 3 prayer quilts that are made by our prayer quilt Person Squares team on Monday mornings. These prayer quilts have strings in them. We invite the congregation members to tie a knot in prayer, and these quilts go out to those in need. And so now I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Lord, we're on the edge. We're on the edge of that Christmas day and all that it means for us. Whether it is a loud celebration with the ripping and tearing of gifts and exclamations of awe, whether, Lord, it is a time of quiet or of rest, or a time when we are waiting for that party that's coming sometime this week. Through all of the trappings, through all of the busyness, we've made it. And now we take this moment and this morning to wait upon you. To know not just the spirit of the songs piped into every establishment we go into, the spirit of gift giving and gift receiving, the spirit of laughter and family and friends coming together, but to know the power of your Holy Spirit by your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for your love for us in a child, God with us incarnate. We give you thanks that you are made real to us, not only through this story, but by the living presence of Jesus Christ. And your love is real to us in the love of family and friends, in the beauty of creation, in our very lives. And we are so thankful. Lord, our prayers go out not only for this community, but for the world. That for our Christian brothers and sisters, this is truly a time of hope, of peace, and of rejuvenation. And for our brothers and sisters in creation who do not follow this faith tradition, that we might lift the ideal of peace, the ideal of hope that things in this life can be better. And on this day, we pray for those who have little warmth, little shelter, little food. And we pray that your people who live in abundance and have the gift of compassion are reaching out. And Lord, now shape us for the days ahead. Help us to celebrate not only that God came in the flesh in Jesus, but that we live out Jesus in our lives. Surround us with your love. Give us your courage to speak when we need to, and your grace to be silent when we need to. We ask all of this in Jesus' name as we pray now our silent prayers before you. And now, Lord, we offer to you the prayer that your Son has taught us. We pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we celebrate the Word becoming flesh, the word from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Greg. So through the weeks of Advent, those Sundays leading up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we have been looking at words that would help us to pause in the midst of a busy season and to consider the gift of Jesus Christ. And so we've looked at the words awake, becoming awake to Jesus as Mary does. We looked at the word wait and how Joseph waited in big decisions and heard the word of God through dreams. We heard about remembering, having a Christian memory and remembering what God has done in our lives and what God will do, just as the wise men would do. And last week, we talked about the shepherds and the shepherds rejoicing and the type of rejoicing that we have in God that is not the kind of party hat wildness, but that rejoicing that is within and sustained that can't be shaken. This morning, the word is ponder. And it's used a couple of times in this nativity story. The first time is in the story, as Greg read, where the angel comes to Mary, and Mary hears that she is favored in the greeting of the angel, and she ponders that. And then in chapter 2, when the shepherds visit the nativity. So we're going to talk a little bit about pondering, and I think that this is the appropriate day to do it, because pretty much you should be done. I mean, unless you're doing your shopping at CVS, you should be done. Now, in this last week, I don't know about you, but I experienced a few things. Like last Saturday, this goes in the what, like hashtag what were you thinking category. We went to the 12 Oaks Mall. Yes. Then this week, I realized we had a toilet paper emergency and had to go to Costco. And then on Friday, I thought we had it all wrapped up. We were driving up north to my mother's house to celebrate, and she called with a list of things and said, "Stop at a grocery store on your way." And how about the traffic here? Isn't it amazing? Loretta was telling a story from earlier this week that she had to get from one side of Brighton to the other, and how long did it take you? 45 minutes. I mean, you could walk it. It has been very busy, and you may have your story of busyness, whether it's the number of gifts that you had to order online, you know, and those delivery people running up and down making a trail on your lawn, or whether it's having to go to a store, or whether it's preparing, or whether it's packing. We all have those things that we're preparing and getting busy. But right now on this Sunday at Christmas Eve, pretty much there isn't a lot to do. You get to go home, kind of hang out, right? What better time to think about the word ponder? Now, when the word ponder is used in this scripture that we heard this morning, this amazing annunciation that comes to Mary that she will have a baby, the word ponder means an actual inner conversation that Mary has. So the angel comes and says, "You have been favored," and Mary has to think, what in the world does that mean, that I have been favored? And she kind of talks to herself. And in the end, what we find is that even as she hears that she will bear the Son of God, she says in the end, I'll do whatever God wants. Nothing is impossible with God. And so she and Joseph, they travel to Bethlehem. They have the baby in a stable. And there they are when the shepherds rush in. The shepherds have been taking care of the sheep. They heard angels talk about Mary having this child, and they came to see the child who would be a savior to them. And as they come in, well, I'll just read to you. I'm going to read from Luke 2, 17 through 20. When they had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God with all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So what we have are these three scenes. We have the shepherds rushing out amazed, and the third scene are the shepherds returning to where they went and just telling everyone about what they'd seen and heard. And it's a lot of motion, it's a lot of commotion. But in the middle, we have Mary, who treasures up these things in her heart and ponders what she has experienced. Perhaps for Mary, pondering is good exercise, because she's going to have to ponder a lot over the next couple, three decades. She'll have to ponder about this special child that she and Joseph are raising. When there comes a time, and this is from John 2, where they're at a wedding, and Mary has to decide whether she's going to talk about the gifts that her son has. And she says to the people who are concerned because they've run out of wine, "Do whatever my son says." She has to ponder what amazing things he does. In the middle of his ministry, she has to ponder why her son has chosen to leave the hometown of Nazareth and call Capernaum now his hometown. She has to ponder also why he is acting the way he is. There's a place in Scripture where she comes with her children and asks him to come home and says, maybe he's crazy. And she has to ponder why he has to go to Jerusalem, even as the threats against him are real, and to speak truths as a prophet would in the temple. And she has to ponder about those 24 tragic hours because she was present to remember hearing that her son had been in prison, seeing him condemned to death and hanging on a cross and watching him die. For those who have had children, there are all kinds of pondering that we do. Some of it's like, what? What were you thinking? That kind of pondering. But for Mary, as Jesus moved through his life and his call to ministry by the grace of God, Mary had to ponder, what does this mean for me, and what does this mean for the world? Now, I don't think that we leave a lot of time in our lives for that kind of internal dialogue, that pondering. If you're like me, you wake up in the morning either with a literal or a mental checklist. Am I ready? Am I right? You have to get ready in the morning, and so you check those things off. You go to work, or you go to your chores, or you go to school, and you check things off. You come home at night, and you look at the list and the things that aren't done, and you say, okay, I'll get to those tomorrow, or I'll be up till midnight. There is no time. And the places that we might spend for pondering, the room that we might squeeze in, we fill with electronic digital entertainment in whatever form works for us. And so there is very little space for pondering. But here is the amazing thing, is we have that space today. Trevor Hudson, who wrote Pauses for Advent, where we've been pulling our words from for this Advent season, told a story about a mentor he had. The mentor said to him that you don't learn from the experiences in your life, you learn from reflecting on those experiences. And I would suggest that to live an unreflecting life doesn't allow us the full, deep, and rich meaning of this season. And we have that opportunity today, in the hours ahead, to take a moment to do that. So let me clue you into a few things that we could learn from Mary about pondering. The first thing is that we learn that God is at work in our lives. Now, Mary might have said, I'm in this little village. I am young. I am not connected in any way to people of wealth or prestige or religious leadership or political leadership. And yet, God has chosen me. God is at work in all of our lives. And you might say, well, I don't really think that's true. But in a time of pondering, we have the opportunity to think about our blessings and where God has moved, and perhaps we haven't even noticed or given thanks, but God has bestowed upon us health, or health in the best way we can at our age. God has bestowed upon us friends that like us despite ourselves. God has given us parents, perhaps, that have been a model for us, siblings who we love. God has given us amazing gifts because God is at work in our lives. Another thing that we can learn from Mary that Mary had to think about is that we are favored by God. There is this entire salvation story that goes through the Old Testament and the New Testament and leads right up to today. From the very beginning of creation, God called human beings good. And from the time that Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden to work on their own, from that moment on, what we hear in the Bible are story after story of God seeking us out. Not just individuals, but humanity. In Jesus Christ, God is seeking a relationship with each of us through that one who came to understand the human life completely. God loves us and favors each of us. Now, you may be saying to yourself, God may favor my neighbor, God may favor my brother or sister or my child, but me? Come on, God knows my story. But here's the thing, is that every single one of us is worthy. Can you imagine what Mary must have thought when an angel showed up? Who am I? And yet for each of us, we can ask that question today. God, who am I that you would send your son for me? And yet God insists that we are favored and we are beloved. Another thing that we can learn is that we cannot predict or control what God will do. Now, what happens in our lives is that God puts people and events in our lives. God, even when the accidents happen and the trauma comes and the loss is there, even in that, God works for some kind of redemption that we may not even see until years later. But God is working, and we are not always in control. Now, this is a shaky thing to ponder, because it is important for us to be in control. I was telling people this morning this story. My mother is 81 years old, and I was at a holiday gathering on Saturday, and we were in this this room that's right off the garage, getting an 85 and an 83-year-old ready to go out to the car. And my brother's father-in-law has the cane, and he has all this stuff, and so we're working with this. And I look out into the garage, and I see my mother. She's 81, hips that aren't hers. Just, I could go on and on. Well, anyway, lifting up her leg to put on her boot. And I'm like this, that thing? And I watch her, boom, go down. And so we run out, and everyone's around her, and everyone's screaming and stuff. And I have a niece who's doing a residency, a medical residency. She's out there, and we're down on the ground taking care of everything. And my mom's like, I gotta get up, I gotta get up. Oh my gosh. So we get her up, and she's like, I'm okay. And because she was gonna go play cards, and that's very important. So she's okay. So I'm driving home with George, my husband. And George says, so what have we learned? Oh, he's irritating. So I think, okay, so what have I learned? I learned to watch my mother every second. This is what we learned, is that you just can't do everything yourself, right? And even sometimes the way you used to do things, you can't do them anymore. And what I learned was, when I'm 81, God willing, when I'm 81, I better let people take my arm. I better look around for a chair, better have a little patience. What can I learn for now at 59? What can I learn? What I can learn is, I am not in charge. I'm not in control of everything. And that comes from pondering. And I'll tell you, when you start to ponder that kind of stuff, you get a sense of awe. Mary gave her life away. Can you imagine? Whatever you want, God, do it. And amazing things happened, and the world was changed because she realized that she wasn't in control. And finally, I would just say this. This is truly possible. Is that in our lives, there will be holy inbreaking, that God will enter. Now, you may have those God moments. You may be able to talk about a moment that you saw a natural wonder and realized the beauty of creation. You may talk about the birth of a child or a moment when a friend offered you insight that you had never considered and said, that was the moment that God broke in. You may hear a song, a word in a prayer, a word of scripture, a word of wisdom, or read it and say, this is God speaking directly to me. Well, in pondering, what we do is we open ourselves to those events. I like to imagine Mary pondering on a regular basis so that she would be open to the wisdom of her son, to his movement, to his growing up, and to what God had made possible. God is our gift in Jesus Christ, and we have the wonderful opportunity today to think what that might mean. All kinds of gifts will and have come our way. And they're very noticeable in their packages, or in my brother's case, in a garbage bag. Whatever way the gift comes to you, you know what it is. But it's only by pondering the gift of God that we'll truly, truly grasp it. And so this is my invitation, that today you might think about how God has worked in your life. That you might give thanks for being favored by God, for today you are favored because the Son is born. That you might, in pondering, give up a little. Give it up to God and say, whatever, Whatever comes, whether it's this day, tomorrow, this week, or this year, I will give it to you and I will listen. And finally, that in that pondering, that for all of us, our hearts might be open to holy inbreaking, to those, as the Celts say, that thin place where God comes close to earth and we sense that Spirit. Let that be our Christmas practice. Now that the work is done, the pondering begins. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, Lord, force us, open a moment today or tomorrow, whether it's a walk in the crunch of the snow, the slow lighting of a candle, the stirring of a meal, washing dishes, wherever it is, Lord, give us the moment to ponder and open our hearts to you. We welcome your blessings. Amen.